Okay, so we're just going to quickly hazard what we spoke about at the end of 2 days ago. We mentioned, we started talking about the questions of making tea and coffee on Shabbos, right? We spoke about various issues of Bishul, right? We said, even though we for sure paskin in Bishul, achar Bishul, right? We quoted a Chumra from the, anyone remember from who? Chumra from the Uraim, right? The Uraim quotes a Chumra that even if you hold in Bishul, achar Bishul, but yesh Bishul, achar afiyo utzliya, as we'll see, we don't really pass that Uraim. But it's a Chumra, we'll get to that in a second, but it's a Chumra that we try to be machmir for if possible. The last nikuda that we made at the end of Chaburah 2 days ago was about the Gemara in Pesachim. Remember about Tam Matzah? Remember that Gemara? We spoke about how the din is if you have the thin wafers for matzah soaked inside of some sort of a liquid, so you can't be yotzei. So we thought that initially that was because of this bishul consideration, which we said, no, not, it's not a raya. Maybe it's a localized din of Tam Matzah that you're lacking in the Tam Matzah when the wafer is soaking inside of that liquid. Okay, so we're still in the middle of the Shuvah Rav Vadya, and we're going to make a couple of ha'aras to kind of continue this point. We're at the bottom of page 31, okay? So we pointed out also that we, as we just mentioned before, that even though there's a Chumrah from the Arayim, nonetheless, Lamaisa, the Ikra, did we assume that Ein Bishul Achar Afiyah, Ein Bishul Achar Tzliyah, Ein Bishul Achar Kliyah, right, all these different things, we assume that there's really no Bishul Me Ikra Adin. So we're going to get to Tigun a little bit later today. If we have time, we'll see if we can get there. We'll talk about that also. That there may be a difference there, but Pashtus is probably the same thing also. Now, Rav Elazar points out, at bottom page 31, if I have coffee, which is already cooked, so let's say, in other words, ground up coffee, right, or coffee beans, so then there would not be any issur for boiling hot water, even from a Kli Rishon, onto the coffee, even if the coffee beans, the coffee will dissolve. That does not constitute a davar lach. We pointed out the other day that there's a difference between a davar yavesh and a davar lach in these regards. For example, I can take boiling hot water and pour it onto my potato kugel, because potato kugel is a davar yavesh, right? There wouldn't be an issue. But if I do that to a davar lach, right, so then we assume yesh bishul achar bishul for a davar lach. If I say it's moist, there would be an issue. Rav Elazar points out, though, that in this context, if I have coffee which is already cooked, that does not constitute a davar lach when I pour my boiling hot water from a Kli Rishon onto my coffee beans. That's not a davar lach. We'll get to those distinctions in a second also. But he says that's not called a davar lach, and therefore, in bishul achar bishul, and therefore it's totally mutter to pour my boiling hot water from a Kli Rishon on top of my pre-cooked coffee beans. Okay? And he says, what's the raya? How do we know that that's true? So Rav Elazar quotes from the Rishonim. They point out a case about what's called a pashtida. A pashtida, if you look at the Rishonim, we're talking about, pashtida is a very fatty type of meat cake. It was a cake that was dripping with oil and dripping with this kind of meat. And if you put it, yeah, correct. It sounds really unhealthy. So if you put this pashtida, the halacha is you can take this pashtida and put it next to a fire. Even though there's clearly a concern that the fat is going to melt and it's going to congeal and it's going to cook, so he says, since the reason why it's mutter is since the dish, the pashtida, was yavish when you first put it there, so even though, yes, later on the fat will dissolve and will cook, that does not make it into a davar lach. So Rav Elazar says the same story applies to the pre-cooked coffee beans, even though it's true that it's going to become moist, but because it was pre-cooked, therefore it's going to be mutter. Okay, that's a smart guy. So not pre-cooked coffee beans with Ora, Rav Elazar would think there's a problem. Yeah, that's what it sounds like right now, okay? Now, continuing to page topics 32, so it's a long paragraph here in the middle of this tshuva, so kind of just quickly summarize what his point here is, okay? So Rav Elazar quotes some of the achronim, that it's only mutter to pour this coffee powder or this water on top of the coffee powder on, again, pre-cooked coffee powder, like we mentioned. But if I put, let's say I do the opposite, let's say I put my coffee powder into a cup, and then I pour the boiling hot water on top, that's going to be awesome. He quotes that from the Leif Chaim and the Din Asturan. That's some achronim hold that dafka have to pour in the water and then the coffee, and not the other way around. What about? So we're going to touch on that issue a little bit later. Most malachos that aren't bishul when it comes to food, that aren't food-related malachos, like malabe, like soveya, for example, may not apply in food, the chlop. Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll see how true that may be. We'll get to that a little bit later, okay? Then the prima gadin, you're not allowed to pour hot water onto tea leaves. Okay, tea leaves.
Why the coffee beans?
Flipping the order, you're saying?
Yeah.
Basically, because what you're doing is, the assumption is that you're going to be cooking the coffee beans. If I have, in other words, again, we said it's only mutter to pour the water onto pre-cooked coffee beans,
yeah.
if the coffee beans were there already.
Right.
If I put in the coffee powder first and I pour hot water onto that,
yeah.
So these achronim that he quotes are machmir.
Meaning,
they're machmir. They're machmir to say that even though the beans may have been pretty good, it's like you're cooking them again. Meaning, if I have the water, I put it first, and I put the coffee beans into the water, the assumption is, you know what this comes up also?
I thought that he said, one second.
First of all, we pointed out that by a double lock, it's not true.
It's not by coffee beans.
Correct. By pre-cooked coffee beans, we said that's not called davar lach. He's quoting a chumrah from these achronim, sort achronim, that it may be a good idea to put in the coffee, to put in the water before the coffee. We'll see, by the way. We're not going to talk about this in summer, but there's a chumrah that some quote when it comes to the question of lush or by Bowen also, that maybe switching the order may be a question. It's a question, let's say I got first one thing, oatmeal on Shabbos, right? So lachora, if I have to mix up my oatmeal, let's say I want to make hot chocolate, I want to mix everything together, right? So that might be a problem with lisha, right? Because I'm mixing something together. So some of the achronim suggest that a way to get around that problem is to flip the order. So let's say during the week I normally do oatmeal then the hot water, I should do the opposite. Now, again, it's a hard rule to follow because some people may have different ways that they make oatmeal or different ways they make, right? Some people make the water first or the hot chocolate first, whatever it is. But that's a theoretical. Well, that's also true. If you don't have a set thing that you do, that could also be a problem. Correct. Okay? Anyway, the people got in quotes that you're not allowed to pour hot water onto tea leaves. So ask Rav Avadji, he says, I don't understand. We paskin the Ikra, did not like the Urayim, right? We said before, Ikra, then we say, Ein Bishul Akar Afiya, Ein Bishul Akar Tzviya. So everything should be mutter. Why is it us reporting the people got him for me to pour hot water onto tea leaves? So says Rav Avadji, there's a big distinction. Tea leaves are not edible, right? You cannot eat raw tea leaves, right? They don't taste like anything. They're not edible. So he says, when I cook tea leaves, what is that the equivalent of? Ravaji says, it compares it to Bishul Saman Mani. If you think about Shabbos, the initial paradigm of Bishul is cooking dyes to use to color the various curtains of the Mishkan, right? That's what the Gemara says. That's what you use the Bishul for. You use to cook dyes. So dyes are clearly not edible, right? So therefore, cooking tea leaves is the equivalent of cooking dyes. There's no heter by cooking dyes of in Bishul Akar Bishul. That heter only exists when it comes to food. Coffee beans, as Asher pointed out, aren't edible beforehand, right? You can eat them. They don't taste very good, but you can eat them. Therefore, you have the cloud in Bishul Akar Bishul. By tea leaves, that heter does not exist. Therefore, the prima donna is not here when it comes to tea leaves, okay? That's the prima donna. Yeah. Why is he playing for
my coffee beans? My coffee beans are not edible. They're not edible by itself,
or
even if
you... Well, no, that's good. Ravaji is saying that the coffee beans are edible. He's saying tea leaves are not edible, therefore, you're cooking them with somebody. Your question is still a good question.
Coffee beans are edible?
What? Maybe some sort of coffee beans. I don't know. Maybe they're edible with shakar pack. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, guys, so that's the chumrah of the prima donna, okay? Now, so he quotes now from the Chasam Sofer, okay? This touches on a point that Asher made before about Soveh, which we'll get to right now, okay? The Chasam Sofer says the following. What is the point of cooking dyes, right? Why do we cook dyes? For the color, right? I'm cooking a dye in order to get a certain extract, a certain color out of that dye. So therefore, he says, in that context, you cannot apply the kula of Ein Bishul Akar Bishul, because you're not cooking it for the food, you're cooking it for the color. But when it comes to a dvar macha, cooking something for the purpose of eating it, and it's already edible the way it is, for example, like coffee, then there would not be any issur of pouring hot water onto that coffee unless you happen to hold Yesh Bishul Akar Bishul. But again, we don't really hold like that. Or Yesh Bishul Akar Afiya. We don't really hold that way. So therefore, when it comes to that, it would be totally mutter. Okay? Good so far? Then he quotes also from the Sefer Yehuda Ya'aleh, or Yehuda Asad. He was one of the early Achronim. He writes that in the Medinos Ashkenaz, right, in the German Ashkenazi communities, so where apparently coffee beans were not eaten, I guess because they don't taste so good, so they're not eating the end. So then he says there may be a problem of Bishul, meaning once I take these coffee beans and I make them not edible, essentially, so now I'm back to where I started. Even if I'm talking about a food product, but if fundamentally the food is not really edible the way it is, so that's not going to help me. It's still going to be a problem. It's still going to be an issue of Bishul afterwards. Now, the end of the shoot, Rav Avadji goes back and forth with different achronim, trying to figure out whether it's really usher, it's really mutter, in terms of tea leaves, in terms of coffee. Maybe the tea leaves are really pre-cooked on these copper sheets. So again, the metzias here is a little bit unclear what he's talking about. But anyway, he tried, at the end of the day, he seems to say that we're more make by coffee than by tea leaves. That's what it seems to be. Now again, many of us today don't use tea leaves to make tea, but we use tea leaves. It's a different issue altogether. But theoretically, if we're using tea leaves, Rav Avadji may say that you should be machmir to not pour hot water on the tea leaves on Shabbos, whereas by coffee, it seems, everyone would be makeup for that. What? Right, correct, maybe, yeah. Now, Rav Avadji, on page 33, Rav Avadji also quotes from the Ramah. The Ramah is machmir for the sheet that's hayirayim. We quote this hayirayim, we don't pass it with hayirayim. But the Ramah is machmir for the Urayim that yesh bishul achar afiyah, yesh bishul achar tzliyah, right? And therefore, the Ramah says, one should not pour boiling hot water from a kli rishon onto coffee on Shabbos, but rather, first pour it exactly into a kli sheni and then transfer the water from the kli sheni onto the coffee. Coffee beans are roasted. So that's, yeah. Or pour it into a different cup. Exactly. So the Ramah is machmir for this Urayim. And Ramah says, if you're Ashkenazi, the Ramah's machmir for the Urayim. But the logic qualifies. When it comes to... Correct. You have to... Klisheni in order to pour it on top. Meaning you're saying the way we pass it in terms of the Chumrah of Klisheni. So that's already a Chumrah Agave Chumrah, because that's another Chumrah of the Urayim, about how Klisheni is Mavasho. Meaning we're Choshe that everything is Suffolk Kali Habishol as Manazah, right? Again, remember just Chazri said this point 2 days ago, right? That Meikra didn't know that Klisheni ain't Mavasho, right? That's the Halacha. But we know that Kali Habishol, things that are easily cooked, do cook in a Klisheni. So the Urayim. One second. The Urayim has a Chumrah that what? That. Because we're not sure exactly what Kali Mishul is, we have to be choshed that unless I know for a fact otherwise, everything is at least a suffix Kali Mishul. What? Many people do hold, we generally do hold that Kali. That's why we use Kali Shlishis most of the time, right? Okay? We use a Kali Shlishis because of the Kali Mishul. These are two Kali Mishul in the Urayim.
These are
Kali Mishul. These are Kali Mishul, but again, but Kali Mishul are different anyway, because as you pointed out, it's more like Bishul Salamani. It's not really like food, it's not edible. That may be worse anyway, right? So again, this may be a double chumrah. So whether with the choshev for a double chumrah the Urayim is a little bit questionable, but we'll leave that on the table for now. We're not going to talk about that point right this second. But Rav Avadya does say that even if you're Ashkenazi and you're machmir like this Ramah, like this Urayim, like this other Urayim that we spoke about, he says when it comes to instant coffee, you can for sure be naked. Why? Because instant coffee is pre-cooked. So for instant coffee, definitely he says you can be naked. You don't have to be choshev for this Urayim. You can pour boiling hot water from a kli rishon onto instant coffee without a problem. And he quotes the Panim Iro, it's another acharon, who extends that hefker to sugar. I can take boiling hot water and pour it directly onto sugar also. Sugar is also pre-cooked. We can do that as well. Pasha is probably a similar start, I would imagine. Yeah. Right, because according to the Sfar, it sounds like Meikra Adin, it should really be Mutter. The Maram Shik, he quotes the Maram Shik, another acharon who says that the Ramah is Machmir because it's going to dissolve, the coffee beans are going to dissolve, and then it's going to become a Dover Lach, and you're going to pour a Kli Rishon, a Kli Rishon, the water from the Kli Rishon on directly onto sugar, like you said. We pointed out before from Rav Avadya, Rav Avadya himself thinks that this is probably not correct. Remember, what is it from Rav Avadya? Once something is a Dover Yavish, it can't really become a Dover Lach later on, like the Pashtita example, right? And also like the example of the pre-cooked coffee beans, right? Once the coffee beans are pre-cooked, no matter how much water I add to it, it won't become a Dover Lach in Halacha, right? So this Svara that we quote with the Maharav Shik may be against that Svara that Rav Avadya put forth, possibly, okay? Now, the Shuz is Rav Avadya some other acharonim, more contemporary poskim, the Minchas Yitzchak and the Chalkas Yaakov, we're both machmir by instant coffee because they're choshed that even though that he says, for example, that I have, let's say, a salt. So my cooked salt, they point out, it's not so clear that it's mutter to pour hot water on food cooked salt. And therefore, because there may be a chumrah in that regard also, so they're machmir. But Rav Avadya himself thinks that it's definitely mutter, even for Ashkenazim, to pour boiling hot water onto instant coffee.
That's always, yeah. That's like pouring on.
Okay, correct.
Unless you hold by the chumrah of the Urayim, you can always.
Correct. Right. Maybe I did. None of this is probably true. Maybe I did. These are all chumras al gabi chumras, right? These are like double chumras of the Urayim that we're talking about, right? So the starting point is always everything's with dirt, and then you know. Look at the bottom of the screen, we have a tshuva in the Rapha, and the Rapha image written by the Benishai. The Benishai, Baghdad. He died in the early 1900s. He's a very prolific writer. Okay? He has a lot of tshuvas. He has a sefer called Torah Lishma, which is the only sefer, to my knowledge, ever written under a pseudonym. Right? That sefer was signed with the name Yecheskel Kakuli. So people think that there's some other guy named Yecheskel Kakuli, but if you actually compare those tshuvas to other things that he wrote, it's very clear that Ben Ishai wrote those tshuvas called Torah Lishma. But he has tshuvas that he signed himself, called the Rav Malim. The Rav Malim was programmed with five halakim, the four standing halakim in Shulchan Aruch, plus a fifth galet called Sony Sharim, which are tshuvas al-pi kabbalah. He also wrote a lot of stuff on Chumash, on Har Shemir, and he's more well known for that. But in this tshuva, in the Rav Malim, so he was talking about how some people have the practice to put some of the kotlin in the urn before Shabbos. Why? To avoid problems of Sobeya. Remember, we saw this issue a couple minutes ago, and Rashi brought up before, is that when it comes to Sobeya, so we generally assume that what? The Shulchan Aruch asking the Therish, and ain't Sviya the Oven. So for example, let's say I want to make tea on Shabbos, right? So let's not get into all the details about making tea that are problematic. Say again? Okay, so one second. Meaning, there are a number of issues. We're not talking about tea leaves right now, just tea bags. There are a number of issues with tea bags, which maybe we'll get to the other issues. Okay, we're not going to get to the issues, those issues right now. One of the theoretical issues making tea on Shabbos is soveya and coloring the water. So the Shulchan Aruch says, soveya is not really a chashad. Why not? Because I don't really care about the color of the tea, right? I want the taste. So can anyone think of an example where, in the context of food, soveya may be a problem with food? I think an example of that. Where would soveya with food be problematic? Meaning, food, excellent, food color, right? If I want to, let's say, make a birthday cake, put icing on the cake, or put food color on the cake, I want a specific color, right? If I want to make, a Jets helmet on my birthday cake, I want green. That's not what I'm going for, right? I'm not going for any color at all. Whatever. Okay, that's a little bit. Yeah, we're not mixing colors here to make meat. Anyway, so it might be a problem. But if you got a cloud, you do a normal situation with food and drinks. What?
Mix the food.
Okay, let's talk about mixing food colors. What do you mean?
It's so bad if you die. What are you dying?
No, okay.
What are you doing on Shabbos?
I made a cake, right? Let's say I made a cake before Shabbos, whatever, and now I want to put the finishing touches and I want to write happy birthday or I want to write whatever, go Jets, I don't know, whatever it is, right? Well, okay, that's a different question. That's a different question, which we're not going to talk about now. But theoretically, if I wanted the color green on my cake, badafka, the color green, right? When I make tea, I don't care about the color.
I get it. I'm taking some frosting and going like that is not soveya. It's already made.
No, but I'm saying if I'm making an image on my cake, there's nothing on the cake right now. It's just a vanilla ice cream cake.
Right.
And now I take some tube of frosting and I write Go Jets. Or I make a Jets helmet in green. That I want the green. I want the color green there. No,
you're making an image. You're not dying anything.
You're saying it's more kosei than tovea?
Well, you're not dying. You're not taking the like,
well, okay. Hang on a second. When I make tea and I make it red, I'm not dying anything either.
Yeah, you are. You're dying in the water.
Dying in the water?
Yeah, of course you are. When you make a cake, the frosting's in the bottle, now it's outside the bottle.
So you're saying there's more of a mamache and a kosei issue as opposed to a soveya
issue? I'm not even sure if you're going to say mamache.
Easy. Okay, fine. Okay, I hear. That's a fair time. Yeah,
Keith. Situations like this where writing on a cake, is there an issue with that? Is that soveya?
Okay. So let's hold up on soveya because apparently we'll try to figure that out. But at the very least, you can say there's kosei, and maybe Rashi says there's mokei when you cut the cake up, right? There are a number of issues, squeezing the thing out of the bottle, making the mokei possibly, right? There are a number of theoretical issues that come up with that. So that's not the focus of what we're talking about. We're talking about the above. Let's get back on track for a second, okay? So the Ben Ishai says that some people have the practice of putting coffee inside of their urns before Shabbos in order to avoid this theoretical issue of soveya. But the problem is, the Ben Ishai says, they can't, one second. He says they can't put in too much coffee into the urn because it's going to become bitter. In other words, they wanted to put in a little bit of coffee to avoid soveya, but if they put all their coffee into the urn, it's not going to taste good when Shabbos comes around. So the question is it mutter for them to put in a little bit of the coffee and then the rest will die in the actual water once Shabbos begins?
Are the Russians lenient on this anyway? Say no.
What?
No soveya by food?
Well, Maker, I did it seems like everyone's making on that. That's what it seems like. But, let's finish the shoe first and we'll talk about it, okay? Go to page 34. Sorry, the Medrash Chai says he quotes from the Giras Bradim, this Akron the Rav Avadji quoted before. He says that Soveya is a problem. I was going to ask me. The Shulchan Aruch says eight Tzvi of the Ochlin. What do you mean? Why is Soveya a problem? He says no. That's only the Ochlin. But the Mashkin Soveya is Aser. So the Medrash Chai is not too excited about this answer, as you can imagine, right? It's very dochak to be mechalik between Ochlin and Mashkin in regards to like Soveya. It's very dochak, right? And he talks about how maybe there's some sort of like zera. Okay, this is like details of Soveya already. The Maaseh, this is what the Giras Bradim writes. Anyway, then he quotes, Medrash Chai, in the bottom of the Tshuva quotes, that you can put raisins or persimmons into your water on Shabbos. Why? Because then, persimmons are like those little peach thingies, whatever, with my peaches. Then he says, why? Because then he says, this nikar derech achila. Let's say, for instance, the following. Let's say I want to make, I don't even know what this would be called. Raisin juice, raisin water, right? I'm putting raisins in the hot water, or persimmons in the hot water. Right, dried, whatever, right?
We're talking about like fig juice or date juice.
Oh, so what's that? Okay, so we'll talk about something similar. So he says, let's say I want to make this, I don't know, persimmon juice, whatever it is, right? So what do? I put my persimmons in the hot water on Shabbos, but I need to do it in such a way that people don't think I'm eating Machal Shabbos. So how do I do that? I put my persimmons around the cup. So now everyone notices that I'm not, that this is Derech Achila. This is not Derech Shtia anymore. But let's say we're kosher for this crazy Chumrah of the Giras Bradim. Let's say we hold Yesh Tzvi of the Mashkin, right? Let's say we hold that crazy Chumrah. So how do I circumvent that Chumrah? Well, I have to make it clear as day that I'm doing Ochlin and not Mashkin, right? So how do I do that? By putting the persimmons and putting the raisins around the cup, that will circumvent anyone's chashad.
And I'll pass it. You put the thing in first, and then you put it.
Okay, well, meaning, no matter, even if I do it in a mutter way, there's going to be another Maris Ayin problem, right? If people are looking in the window and they see that I'm cooking persimmons, they're going to think, oh, look, he's making some kind of mash. I'm putting the persimmons around the edge so everyone can tell that it's Derech Achil. By the way, anyone know where else in Halacha this exact concept comes up also? When I put something on the outside, and because of Maris Ayin, we're hosting for something which Ikra did as mutter, but when I put something on the outside, it makes the Maris Ayin issue goes away. Not by Hanukkah, no. It's by an Isra Vehetter type of issue. It's a Yoredeya type of Jew. One of the first Simanim in Simon Pei Zayin, Yoredeya, right? So we know the famous question about drinking almond milk, right? So almond milk was not as very common, right? Because people have lactate, right? People have lactose intolerant. Everyone drinks almond milk today. But Meikra Adin, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it should be usher, at least be the Rabbanan, to drink almond milk. Why would it be usher to drink almond milk, be the Rabbanan? Or at least to eat, right? The Shulchan Aruch talks about there may be an issur of basar b'chala. Now, obviously, almond milk is powdered, right? So what would be the issue? Because it's marasai, it looks like real milk, right? Or at least, theoretically, it looks like real milk, right? So to eat meat, or to eat whatever, chicken meat with almond milk, should be a problem, marasai, you need the Rabbanan. So, but as that, we're not so concerned because everyone knows that there's a thing called almond milk. This is the same issue, by the way, with powder of ice cream and non-dairy creamers, all these things that 50 years ago, no one heard of. But as that are so common that we don't need these, you know, things anymore. But anyway, but theoretically, if this was a real chashad, so the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, an easy way to overcome this problem, just put some almonds outside of your cup, and everyone knows that you're drinking almond milk. That's an easy way to overcome the chashad, overcome the marasai. That's what the Benish Chai makes that comparison. One last application of this tshuva, and about the Tzoveya question by Mashkin, the Ramah says, here's our third chumrah from the Yerayim in the last 2 days. A lot of Yerayim chumrah. So,
what's the second one?
We have to be choshi for Kali HaBishol, right? That everything's stuff for Kali HaBishol. We said that Yesh Bishol Achar Afiyu Tzliya. And now the Ramah quotes in the Yerayim that mixing... I'm sorry. This is a kula, actually. This is a kula from the Yerayim. We'll see how this kula actually holds up. The Yerayim has a kula, believe it or not, that mixing white and red wine is mutter. Now, think about it. It should be, right? Pink wine. Exactly. Well, actually, by the way, you said that's a joke. There's a Ramban.
And you like a white wine, you put a little big...
One second. There's a Ramban of a second Nida that talks about Naftamidas for Maros, for Dam Nida, for pink, based on Kiddush, based on determining the color of wine, whether it's red, whether it's white, mixing it. So it's not such a joke what you're saying, even though you said that's a joke. But mixing, as Ash pointed out by the Seder, right, by Lewa Seder, so we clearly aren't, right, we know the Gemara Pesachim says, Altiri Yayin Kiyas Adam, we always opt for red wine, unless it's time of blood libels, right, but Mikra, then we always try to have red wine at the Seder, right? That's the idea. So there, I clearly want the color. Right? Okay, so if I'm mixing, let's say I don't have so much red wine, I have a lot of white, not so much red, so I want to mix in my little bit of red wine, I'm clearly doing it for Tzoveya, right? Clearly, I want the red. So l'chora, one could argue that's going to be, even if I don't hold the Giras Bradim Chumrah of Yesh, Tzoveya, and Mashkin, one could argue that for sure there's going to be a problem of Tzoveya. Okay, so that's a potential problem when it comes to the city.
Like the wine, well, want to make it red. Well, that actually sounds like a very problematic as
a it does. There are many many issues that come from Leila Seder that many people are unaware of, and that those problems are exacerbated when Leila Seder falls in on Shabbos like it did the last 2 years.
I was gonna say, like, maybe their Yom Tov is like, oh, you know,
on the last 2 years, and the first time it was on Shabbos, there are many issues about Borer, about pulling out whole matzahs and broken matzahs. A lot of issues at the Seder people are just not aware of. Yeah, so there are a lot of issues on Leila Seder, which we're not going to talk about right now, but, okay.
This year, literally, all our matzahs are going home. So we have 4 pounds left, and my dad didn't want to use the whole one, just the second day. So we have 4 pounds left.
Okay, guys, so flip to page 35 for a second, okay? The Chasam Sofer, on the top of page 35, deals with the question of whether a Jew, or a guy, either one, on Shabbos, pours boiling hot water from a Kli Rishon onto ground up coffee, is that mutter? Now, he is not asking a Bishul Akum question, which is another question which we may have to address before the end of the sugya. He's asking a very simple Hilchos Shabbos question, right? Let's say a Jew or not a Jew. Anyway, someone pours boiling hot water from a Kli Rishon onto coffee. Am I allowed to drink that coffee? Now, okay, can someone tell me? No. I don't want to hear Svar as a Hilchos Bishul. Let's walk out of Bishul for 1 second. Let's say a Jew does malacha on Shabbos. Am I allowed to get hand off from that malacha? Explain.
Okay, good.
So this is a big machlokas, okay? It's machlokas in Shabbos, and of all places, in Baba Kama, okay? In the seventh of Baba Kama, by Maruga, we have a big machlokas. Well, it makes sense to be Shabbos. Makes no sense to Baba Kama. Yeah, so what's the machlokas for? What's
the sugya? Writing Rabbi Shimon, and the writing Rabbi Yehuda?
It's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's
Rabbi Gamliel.
No, it's someone random. It's,
okay, what are they?
Kapara, whatever.
Well,
I don't know.
The Shulchan Aruch Paskin.
Okay.
Do it on purpose, you can't ever have it.
Good. Okay, good. Good.
Do it accidentally.
Right. So what is this?
You can't have it. Everybody else can have it even on shot.
Correct. So what is this? What is this sugya called?
Mir Akum.
No, not Mir Akum. What is the name of this? Two words. What is the name of this sugya? It's called Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos means. Maisa Shabbos means that if a Jew. One second. Maaseh Shabbos means that if either a Jew or a non-Jew does malacha in a certain context, right, on Shabbos, so again, depending on whether it was Shomi or Mazid, depending on who did it, or whether he did it for you or not, right, all these different distinctions, that will determine how usher it is and for how long it's usher. Meaning, is it only usher for today? Is it usher forever? Is it usher, right? And there's a famous concept of Bichtei Sheyasu, right? You have to wait the amount of time it took for him to conclude after Shabbos for you to eat it. All sorts of distinctions. Now, anyway, the Chasam Sofer points out, he says, the Chasam Sofer lived in Pressburg, right? So he points out that in the community, right, where did, before Breuers moved to Washington Heights, right, those of you who know anything about Jewish history, where did the Breuers community live before they lived in Washington Heights? Where? Out of Philadelphia. They did not live in America before they lived in Washington Heights.
Give us a hint.
Where?
Give us a hint.
It's in Germany, but I don't know if it's not like a normal sounding city. What? Well, it is a famous city in Germany, but they call it something else. Anyone know?
Frankfurt.
It's Frankfurt, but they called it Frankfurt am Main. Am Main was the name of the river. Okay, Frankfurt am Main. That's where the Schwab lived there. All the hardcore Breuers people, all the Yekis came from Frankfurt am Main. So he points out that for 60 years in Frankfurt am Main, he says that people there were making fun of all the rich people who were making about the Shiloh. When a Jew or a non-Jew would cook, make coffee on Shabbos for them, whatever it was, they would always make them. And the Chasam Sofer says that I don't understand why they're making them. I don't know what it's based on, but he says I assume they have some sort of a heter they're relying on, some sort of a sheet that they're relying on, because he says, how do I know that they're obviously relying on a sheet that they're not just doing whatever they want? It says this is during the time before all the generations were parrots and started following their own thing and started doing whatever they wanted and ignoring all the psukim of the Chachamim. So clearly, they're relying on something. What? It's very simple. Why is it very simple? Meaning you're assuming that we're not being kosher for the array.
I'm assuming we're not being kosher for the array.
Okay, that's fair. So you're saying
Lagabi Maisa
Shabbos. We don't pass. The Rabbah is not kosher for the array, right? You pointed out before. Remember? You saw the Rabbah's not for both those arrays.
That
Chumrah, that Chumrah is universally accepted. That Chumrah, Kali Bishul.
Yeah.
This second Chumrah,
the Ramah is
Machi. No. That Chumrah, we accept. For the most, except, we accept that you need to use a klishi for unless you hold the kavanah to hold the klishi. I'm talking about the other chumrah of the array, right? What was the other chumrah? That the yish bishul akar afia, yish bishul akar tliya, right?
So if
you hold like the Ramah,
okay.
So we're mocking for that, okay? Again, you can argue, by the way, that since that's only a chumrah, so that might not affect Maisa Shabbos, which may be the rice. Okay, you can even debate that point, but that's the chasim sofer. Now, take a look at another tshuva from Ravaji, this is final page 35. Ravaji says that Ashkenazim, by the way, if you remember Ravaji tshuva before, if you ever see the word Ashkenazim, you know he's going to say something like really bad. He doesn't like Ashkenazim. He just doesn't. He's smart. You know, I was at a couple of months ago, one of my speaker classes, I went to a halal house in Paramus, New Jersey. There's a shochi, a front guy, he's Sfardi, a hardcore Sfardi. He shecht in his halal house. It's a very weird setup. He has like a room in the halal house and he does shechita. So, like, when he was telling us about how like amazing the Sfardim are and how they're stuck and we're always right, he was like, the biggest insult you can get from this guy is to be called an Ashkenazi. Like, that's the biggest insult. So when he calls you Ashkenazi, that's like he's ripping on you. So like in Ravaji, same thing. Ravaji, when he calls you an Ashkenazi, like, it's a big rip. Anyway, so Ravaji says that the Ashkenazim, they're not allowed to pour from a kli rishon, or even from a kli sheni, which is yatso lettuce, well, right over, say, 110 degrees, onto coffee. But as we pointed out earlier from Ravaja, instant coffee is probably okay, it's probably good. Now, Ravaja also points out, you are allowed to pour boiling hot water onto fried noodles, as you're getting to the fried stuff now, tiglin, right? You pour boiling hot water onto fried noodles, and onto croutons, right, which are also fried. Why? Asher, why are you allowed to pour boiling hot water? Why are you allowed to pour boiling hot water onto croutons or onto fried noodles? Anyway.
They're already cooked.
So, are they cooked?
They're fried. Ain't
fish like a thing. Oh, so can some pause like, oh, excellent. There's a big muscle gap between Rashi and one day at Tosfos. Sanhedrin, it comes in, it's a very random tangential sugya in Sanhedrin. It has really nothing to do with Sanhedrin, but kind of comes in the Parakagav. Big Machlokas, Rashi, and one Chita Tosos, whether Tiglin is called Vishal or not. Everyone agrees that for Hilchos Shabbos, Pashtas, sounds like that's called, meaning you be Chayav Misa for Tiglin. No one debates that. The question is that called Vishal Lagavi, the idea of Ein Vishal Acher Vishal, for Basra Bechala, for all other areas of Halakha also? How do we view frying? How do we view Tiglin? So that's the punch, because that's the machlokes. That's the exact context where Rashi doesn't have the machlokes. Okay, now so when it comes to fried foods, so Ravaji says that they're fit to eat the way they are even before they're fried. Like, theoretically, you could eat these foods not being fried, and therefore, okay, maybe not chicken, but meaning noodles and croutons don't have to be fried to eat, right? Maybe, theoretically, I mean, you might get salmonella, you can eat it.
What's the
difference
between frying and oil?
So okay. Frying is an oil, and there's also in halacha there's frying and deep frying. So we're not, you know, that's the question about how much oil you use. Right. So it's basically like heart attack versus instant death. That's basically the chilah. Anyway, so because the foods are edible the way they are, therefore there's no din of vishal, which means what? I can pour my I could pour the hot water, I could pour it onto the croutons or onto the noodles or the fried noodles. I could pour a kli rishon soup that's not on the fire, the shalom agabiyosh. One second. Because tigun is like bishul, meaning if I assume that tigun is like bishul in this regard, it would be totally mukkah for me to take boiling hot water from a kli rishon and pour it onto the noodles. Right. So that's one of the issues. But yeah, pashtus, if you assume... If you assume that tigun is bishul, then it should be totally mukkah, because in bishul akar bishul, right? It should be totally fine. So that's the same as the croutons, right? You're saying the red croutons?
No, the
yellow ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are fried. That's exactly it. Right. I'm not remembering who says what right now, but maybe. I'm not remembering. Okay. Now, okay. Okay, anyway, and Rabbi just looked at Chomer for Shimon HaLevi, that maybe you should be mocking about pouring from a klish nishi. The two guys, no one's really mocking for that. So we're going to... Okay, guys, 30 page 36. We're not going to talk about that. 30 page 36.
How many chumras does that need to take from a klish
nishi on the crew? If you ever see an Ashkenazi posting, they're all about chumras, right? That's what Ashkenazi posts can do. Friday posts are all about getting the Rambam and everyone else can go jump off a bridge. And Ashkenazi posts are all about, you know, here's the chumra, there's the chumra, here's the array, and everyone's being mocked. That's the mahal. Anyway, Rav Moshe. Okay, now we're going to get into our famous Rav Moshe discussion. Okay, Rav Moshe asks, is instant coffee fully cooked? Or maybe it's like tasting it in cold water, and it's not, in other words, not that it's fully cooked. Adding the hot water would enhance, meaning it's theoretically edible somewhat the way it is. But if I add hot water, it tastes better. In other words, because hot water, there's a lack of hot water in ma'akiv, me even drinking that coffee b'chlal. Okay, but you're probably not making iced coffee out of like coffee cutter, right? You're probably not making it out of like... Okay, but they're a cloud. You're not making iced coffee out of the stuff you use to make regular coffee, usually, right? Soup. So says Rav Moshe, he says, you cook the coffee, right? Coffee beans are fully cooked, right? And then what happens? I put my coffee beans into 800 degree water. I'm making it really hot. So now it becomes a Davar Yavin.
It's roasted.
What?
Roasted.
Okay,
800 degrees is still water.
Okay, right, correct. I'm saying it's a Davar Yavin thing. So Rav Moshe writes, by the way, kind of interestingly, no, at the very end of the Shuba, the Moshe writes that by Ikar Adin, it's totally mutter to use a clean shady to pour the hot water onto the coffee powder from Moshe. But he says, I myself am machmir to use a clean shlishi. He said, it's the last line of the Jews, really the last line. Ibra, the ani machmir la'atmi, bin the kafe nami, so bin the tzukr, we did a clean shlishi, I'm ladina ilahachmi.
Wait. But so
on, on himself to use.
Wait, I thought the Ramah holds that what? It's in fact a visual author sleep. I mean, as a visual
as a chumrah, correct.
So correct. Wait, don't we hold like the Ramah?
We're mocking the Ramah, but again, that's assuming that there's visual. Actually, if I go from a cliche, there's no visual there.
No,
asleep.
On a cliche, I'm saying the Ramah.
You're saying, why is there Moshe?
Why am I not mocking on this? I mean, the one I hold.
You're
like
saying, why can't you just use the. Meaning, you're saying, Maker did a Rav Moshe, why is it okay to really just use the cliche?
Yeah,
well,
even Maker did, how can Rav Moshe say that it's okay?
See, that's the question.
The Ramah said it's
okay. That's something in the beginning of the truth. It's good for the quantity of what we cook, right? Meaning, there's something that's considered to be fully cooked. So Rav Moshe would say, well, Maker
did, it's probably what. But when you're dealing with issues when you're dealing with issues of like the Yesh Mishal or A Mishal after something else, if you have another topic, you definitely have a lot.
Pashtus, and you could also argue that maybe his chumrah is just coming mitzad yirek. Meaning, obviously, we're going to be mocking for the Ramah because he quotes his chumrah. Maybe the most chumrah is coming mitzad because there's a chumrah from the Ramah. But if the Yireyim, they correct it. He says if you can't rely on this for whatever reason, maybe the economy might be looking.
So now that we have like another factor in play,
the always is when you pile on chumrahs, so there's more room to be naked. Because if you have chumrah, gabi chumrah, gabi chumrah, so it's easier to pull away a chumrah or two when you have a lot of other chumrahs that are already piled up. Okay. Now let's go to page 37 in the Menchas Yitzchak. So you'll notice that there's some English on this page. This is actually in his Shuva. I didn't write this. This is in his Shuva, this English. In this context, he's talking about, it's something from the Nestle company from Middlesex, England. I don't know, whole story. Anyway, so again, you still have the same issue here with coffee beans. Are they roasted? Is it fully cooked? So he basically says that, yes, the coffee beans are fully cooked, but he says you should be machmir. Don't pour the hot water on them. It's a good idea to be machmir. And he says that it's better to pour coffee into cups and then afterwards put the sugar in the cups after you pour in the coffee. Why? Because if a davar yavish dissolves, then yeesh bishul if it's yatzo lettuce. Meaning, it would be ideal to first put in your coffee and then, because again, the sugar you could argue is already fully cooked. If there's a suffix by the coffee beans, so it's a better idea to put your coffee and then the sugar in. The sugar, no one thinks is not fully cooked. So for that to dissolve in the coffee, it's okay. But if I put in the sugar and then I put in the coffee afterwards, the coffee is dissolving, so that theoretically...
Wait, do people cook sugar?
The sugar that we have today is already fully cooked, processed.
But cooked, not roasted.
Yeah, it's cooked. It's cooked. Yeah, so therefore, he says you should put it in dafka in that order. Okay. Also, if you take a look by the very interesting truth, the bottom of page 37,
Ramah holds that a cliché is not cooked, right?
Me'ikar Adin, everyone holds a cliché in a shell. There's a chumrah.
I know, but the Ramah does not hold like that chumrah.
Pashas not. Meaning,
right. What, like,
the Ramah holds the chumrah of the array, right? So the notion.
Who might want that?
No, the chumrah of Kali Habishol, of the Machna Habishol, is a universal chumrah. It's a universal, everyone holds that chumrah. It's debatable about how far reaching that gzera may be. Meaning, if there's something that I don't vibe that is not Kali Habishol, then it's mutter, pashtus. But we try to, again, the Chazon Ish denies the whole concept of cliche, of klishlishi, right? But if you hold the klishlishi, we always try to be machna for klishlishi as much as possible. Okay, that's basic consensus. Now, if you guys look at the Chalkas Yaakov here on the bottom of page 37, he quotes the Marsham. The Marsham thinks, if I mix what's called mead, right? Strong mead type of alcohol, right? If I mix strong mead with water on Shabbos, so he says, that's not called machna pashtus. But what? What? Mead?
Is that not pronounced med?
I don't know. I thought it was meat. I don't know. I think it's meat. I don't know. don't know. I thought meat was an alcoholic beverage. You know, it's an alcoholic beverage. I think so. It's some kind of like rum or something.
Like
I don't.
Old like, yeah. You walked into like a Scandinavian bar in like the 1600s.
Right. So I don't know who's walking into a Scandinavian bar in the 1600s, but I'm definitely not. So he quotes guys. So he quotes from the Marshav that there's no issue of knocking a potash to mix the water with the meat to make it taste better. Because again, by the way, this relates to the point down before, when it comes to food related malachos, sorry, non-food related malachos on food, so there's a big question about how far reaching those applications are going to be. You skip to the bottom of page 38, we have the Aruch HaShulchan, and this is a very important Aruch HaShulchan, okay? The Aruch HaShulchan writes, and this is touching on a point we've been making this whole day today, you're not allowed to pour water from a klisheni onto tea leaves, because that's Kali HaVishal. Says Aruch HaShulchan, tea leaves are Kali HaVishal. Now, okay, that's a fact. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan now goes to town and takes what he calls three Tainos Shel Hevel, feudal arguments. He's going to show you three arguments that people have made to try and matter this, and he's going to show you why they're all ridiculous arguments. Can we matter pouring hot water from a klisheni onto tea leaves? But she says, tea leaves are Kali HaVishal, therefore it's Asur. He's going to show you these three arguments, and he's going to rip them apart, okay? Argument number one, theoretical argument number one. The tea was already cooked, and ain't Bishal Akar Bishal, right? That sounds like a pretty good argument. That's the argument we've been making this whole time. Right, guys, the tea leaves are fully cooked, and you hold ain't Bishal Akar Bishal, so then the Chora, okay, at least make her again, and should at least be mutter to pour from a klisheni onto tea leaves. Why does Aruch HaShulchan reject that? Because he says that, first of all, how could it possibly be fully cooked? Because he says, again, I don't know all the historical and economic implications of the statement, but he says apparently they sell these tea leaves at full price in order to cook it. In other words, right, they don't actually cook tea leaves. He said people have this title that, oh, the tea leaves are cooked, and therefore a Bishal Akar Bishal, and therefore it's mutter. But if you just look at the stories, they're not cooked. So again, I can't comment on this because it's just like a mistake. Like, yeah, the tea leaves, you go to the stores, you go to ShopRite, right, tea leaves, they're not cooked. So, okay, they're not cooked. So that's his first refutation of Tainus Shel Hevel number one. Tainus Shel Hevel number two is some people pour water from a Kli Rishon into a flask, and then they put tea into the flask, and then they put water and tea into their cup of china, and they pour the water from a Kli Rishon onto that tea. But he says, so in other words, that theoretically...
Wait, that's too complicated.
It sounds like he's a TS, right?
What's
in other words, I'll try this one more time. So in other words, you're pouring water from a Kli Rishon into a flask, then you're putting tea into the flask, then you're taking that mixture and pouring it into...
Cold water.
Your whole thing into a china.
Wait, cold water in the flask?
It's, I know, hot water into a flask. No, just regular hot water into a flask.
Wait, yatsu lettuce
bowl? Let's say it's yatsu lettuce
bowl. Wait, how is it not cooking right there?
1 second.
It's hot right there. How is it not cooking?
No, you don't put anything into the flask. You just pour water. You don't do anything.
Oh, yeah, put the tea.
I pour water into a flask.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Then I put tea in the flask.
Okay.
Then I put, I take the water and tea and I pour it into china. And then I pour, then I take Kli Rishon water and pour it into the china.
Yeah.
Okay? So Aruch HaShulchan says that that's in a direction. And you're Chayav Skila. It's Chayav Chatos. Why?
You took Kali Bishul, you put it in a Kli.
Thank you. It's Kali Abishul. That's it. It's Kali Abishul.
What does that even mean?
So again, these are the Aruch HaShulchan's titles. His third title, Shul Hevel, is that some people pour hot water from a Kli Rishon on Erev Shabbos, and they let it sit into Shabbos, and then they pour the water, and the tea remained dry, and the next morning, they poured hot water from the Kli Rishon because it was already cooked from Erev Shabbos.
Water?
And they say, in other words, again, they cooked the tea into the water, they poured Kli Rishon water on tea on Erev Shabbos, right? They're letting it sit in the Shabbos. So people want to argue now that when I now pour my Kli Rishon water Viker on Shabbos onto my tea leaves in Bishal Akar Bishal because it was already cooked on Friday. So he says it's not true. Because he says you have to put some of the water onto the tea before Shabbos, and then you have to pour it out. Because it doesn't cook in that moment. In other words, if I let the tea sit into Shabbos, it's not fully cooked yet. In other words, you can't invoke in Bishal Akar Bishal, says Aruch HaShulchan, if it's not really fully cooked. Right? So therefore, because it didn't really fully cook before Shabbos, so I can't invoke in Bishal Akar Bishal. And as Asher pointed out before, you should prepare the tea essence on Erev Shabbos, and the coffee, and the hot chocolate. Again, so Deya is not going to be an issue here because we don't really care about the Okay, so first of all, no one possibly can be a problem, for sure not. And second of all, we're only going to be associated with Sodeya. They actually want the color. If I don't want the color, right? If I don't care about the color of the tea, I want the flavor, right? So when it comes to he actually gives that example. He actually thinks you should also prepare hot chocolate before Shabbos. He writes,
hot chocolate is no way you can prepare it.
Well, theoretically, if you came up with a hot chocolate essence, I don't know what that would look like, what that would be, but theoretically, there might be a way to do that. Again, we use powder, so it's not really shy us to talk about what things that we use. But in theory, if someone came up with something like that...
If the powder's already supposed to be able to make it on Shabbos, like
maybe, possible. When you, at some point this summer, I assume we're all going to go to the chocolate factory. It's awesome. That's always a teal option, one of the weeks, usually. It's all the way up north in Degania.
Really?
What?
Go?
I've been there like the last like 5 years. It's awesome. So they have this Hebrew presentation where they tell you how chocolate is made, and they use the word like cacao a lot. Cacao means chocolate, right? Right. And they give you out free like chocolate, right? So he says, right, in that situation, like they say that you're going to, they're basically telling you how chocolate is processed. And if you want, maybe a different topic. I wasn't planning on giving this cover this year. Maybe at some point we talk about halachos of chocolate. If you go up to the chocolate factory, so maybe we'll talk about brachos on chocolate. There are all sorts of interesting questions about chocolate, about the shalakum and things like that. Okay, but just a side point. Now, let's flip to page 39 quickly, okay? 39, okay? This Tosfos in the middle of the page is very important, okay? You say this quickly outside. You say, very Yisodos and Tosfos and Shabbos. Tosfos asks in Bob Kashi. And it's a question we should have asked before we started the social media. But of course, we didn't do that because I wanted to give you the psak on the bottom line first before we saw all the lungers. Tosos asked a bottom line. Hey, what's Tosos got? What's the difference between a TV show and a cliche? Yeah, that's not the cross cash. It's the real cash. Yeah. What's the difference between a TV show that's... Let's explain.
Clean rishon
is when you either off. Well, you can have a clean rishon on the fire or off the fire. Right. Both are called clean rishon. Right. Okay.
Right.
So just the rishon. If the two kinyanim are yatzel lezbo, then the white doesn't clean rishon cook.
Right.
And if you're not yatzel lezbo, the white doesn't clean rishon cook.
Oh yeah. This is a question you always ask whenever you're talking about a cliche, what's the difference? It's for the walls of the tree.
Excellent! Tosfos says, what's the difference between Rishon and Klisheni? Two words. Tefanos, Tekaranos. What does that mean? A Klisheni is in the process of cooling down. A Klisheni is in the process of cooling up. I theoretically can have a Klisheni that is hotter than a Klisheni, and I'm trying to skew up for a Klisheni and not for a Klisheni. Why? It doesn't matter how hot the Kli is, it only matters which direction the Kli is going in, right? It matters, is it heating up or is it cooling down? That's a very important historical question, okay? Tosfos says that the chiluk between the Klisheni and Klisheni is about which direction is the temperature going and not how hot is it right now, okay? Very important historical question. Now, Moshe quotes a chumrah from the Chai Rabbi. We're all familiar with Kuri Yatzel Levitzko, right? Again, however hot that is, let's debate it. But there's another level which the Chai Rabbi quotes. It's called Yad Nichneisko. What does Yad Nichneisko mean? What's the word Nichneis mean? Anyone? Nichneis? What? Nichneis. Yad Nichneisko. Nun Kaf Vav Yud Kaf. Nichneis. Nichneis means the skull of your hand. It's burning hot. So let us use memory for you. Burning hot. The Chai Rabbi has a chumrah. He says that klisheni mevashel with yad nichneis, which is, let's call it, I don't know, 212 degrees. I don't know if that's the right number. Let's call it 212.
212
is that's
boiling.
That's
boiling. Boiling.
Right?
I think
you can still
call it.
Okay, whatever. I don't know.
Go to
Denver. Let's call it yad nichneis. Let's call it 212 degrees. So Chai Rabbi has a chumrah that if I have a kli that's 212 degrees. Even if it's a klisheni, that's mevashel. Even on non-calorie, even if it's getting cooler. I think it's 212, but let's throw that number out there for now, just for simplicity's sake, okay? Right? So the fire has to come out, and the machine is going to make this bulb, you have to be closer to the hot air, and it's the vashel, even for non-calorie ambition. So asks Rav Moshe, he says, what about a kli shlishi? Right? Again, Rav Moshe holds a kli shlishi. So Rav Moshe says, lo yitzuya that we're machmir for this chai adam, do we have to be machmir further than a kli shlishi with tia nechmiz bo, that it should be problematic? I'm not talking about Okay, one second. Let's say you hold the Kli Shlishi by Rav Moshe, right? I hold the Kli Shlishi. Does that mean that I have to take the Chai Adam's Chumrah of Yad Nisbo and apply it to Kli Shlishi? Says Rav Moshe, we're machmir for a Kli Shlishi. Why are we machmir for a Kli Shlishi in general? Because it's a Kli Shlishi. Because some people call it a Bishul. We're not sure which things don't look so easy, right? So as a Chumrah, we have to be machmir across the board that everything is Suffolk Kali Abishul.
No, we're okay? Not.
For Kli Shlishi, right?
We're not for Kli Shlishi.
What do you mean?
We do not hold like that Chumrah.
I think we've been this point four times here. All right. Everyone agrees to this formula of Kli Shlishi Mavashel Nusafik. Everyone agrees to it. No one debates this point. Unless I have something which is Badi, not Kali Habishel.
Oh, really? No
everyone agrees. Oh. The other formula here is made. The formula of Ha'in Bishel Achar Tzliya.
Okay.
This formula everyone agrees to, okay? Now, he says, that when it comes to a Kli Shlishi, so he says, we're always Miko, no matter how hot it is. So most of Macham, when it comes to Kli Shlishi, right? Yeah, yes, we follow the Torah of Yad Nichmi. But when it comes to a Kli Shlishi, Kli Shlishi, hundreds of degrees, doesn't matter. Kli Shlishi, we're always going to be naked. Then Rav Moshe also writes, he says that objectively, a Kli Shlishi cannot cook, right? And he says, the fact that the water is turning red and it's boiling over, that's not called Bishul. He says, why? He says, that happens in cold water also. Apparently, cold water turns red too. I'm not excited by this, or the tip by this. That's what Moshe claims. That I'm the best. The famous joke. It's only a Kli Shlishi, right? It doesn't bring it. Okay, whatever. Anyway, whether, by the way, just going to page 40, whether there's a formula of a Kli Ravidi is also debatable, right? The cream of God reports the possibility of a concept of Kli Ravidi, which may be like a Kli Shlishi. The Mishnah Berurah, that's not mainstream, okay? We're not doing a Kli Ravidi right now. The Mishnah Berurah, the Sel Chumrah quoted by yesterday, right? This Chumrah about not putting bread in your shoes or your shoulder pot, right? What was that Chumrah based on, guys? What did we say yesterday? What? Meaning, if the bread is if there's going to be a chashan of Kali Abishol, and assuming that my ladle is not a separate Kli, right? In other words, it's only a Kli Shlishi.
Which happens when you leave the ladle in on.
Correct. So then there may be a real chashad, right? There may be a real concern of me cooking the bread, or the croutons, or whatever, anything that may be cooked in the soup pot. So this Mishnah talks about this chumrah here as well.
That chumrah is purely based on whether you yesh bishul after opia, right?
And also, if I'm assuming that you're kosher for Kali Abishol, which you all are, yeah, then correct.
But I'm saying, when you say chumrah,
yes.
That's based on that.
Yeah. Okay. Also, the Mishnah talks about, let's say I want to put onions into my soup, right? Yeah. I want to put a vegetable into my soup, it's going to get cooked, right? I didn't put it in before Shabbos. So he says, onions are a davar gush. What's a davar gush? What?
Dry object.
So that's a davar yavish. What's a davar gush? Guys, anyone? Davar gush means a clump. Right, a gush means a clump. It's a clump. It's like a solid thing. It's never a gush. So the din is that if I have a double gush in a Kli Shlishi, the halacha is dina k'Kli Rishon. That's the din. A double gush in a Kli Shlishi has the status of something else in a Kli Rishon. And he says, Bishmer says, that even if the pot is no longer yatsu lettuce bow, he says, don't put the onions inside of the pot. What would be wrong with putting onions inside of a pot that's not yatsu lettuce bow? Says the Mishnah Berurah, because there's a din of iruin. What does iruin mean? Iruin? Iruin means to pour. Okay, what's the status in halakha of pouring hot water? Let's say I take hot water from a Kli Rishon and I pour it on top of my onion, on top of my whatever. So there's a big machlokas actually in the Rishonim. Yes, excellent. Usually, the halacha is what's called mevashel kedei klipa, which means that when I pour something from a Kli Rishon onto food, it only cooks kedei klipa, meaning the outer layer of the food gets cooked, but the inside does not. That's called mevashel kedei klipa. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and hopefully tomorrow we're going to try to finish up this.
Yeah, but I always thought of that like it didn't really make a difference. because you can't cook technically, but anyway.